This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're talking lawns and gardens. And what a great day to talk lawns and gardens. Beautiful day out. And we've had some really great weather. Had a few showers, but probably need more. And we're going to find out all about that. And we're visiting this morning with Janie Becker from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Janie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart.
Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And are we having a shortage of rain? Are we in a beginning of a drought, do you think?
I'd say we're in the early stages, depending on what areas are in. Some spots of the county have been getting pretty good rain. So we know there were some real downpours over the weekend. Then there's others that haven't seen rain in many, many weeks. So yeah. It's spotty, but...
That makes it hard for people to figure out, especially if you have a garden. Of course, if you're a farmer, that's a whole different story. But if you have a garden with flowers and fruits and vegetables, it's hard to know how much watering should we do.
It is. And well, a good rule of thumb is to if you your plants in your garden, most of your vegetable plants, any annuals, ornamental annuals, impatiens, flowers. They need an inch or more a week. An inch is a good amount to measure for your vegetable garden. So if you haven't received an inch from the sky, which we rarely consistently do in the summer, you need to be providing that in a supplemental form.
I think we could all put out a rain gauge and easily detect how much rain we've received.
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't have to be something fancy. It doesn't need to be digital. It can just be a plain old-fashioned rain gauge that you mount on a fence post or somewhere unobstructed from trees or buildings, and then you can have a little bit more insight into how much water your plants need.
Now, I can do that, but what I have a difficult time figuring out, let's say I have a half inch of rain in the rain gauge, and I figure, well, I need another inch of rain. How do I determine that with the sprinkler?
Well, for one, if you actually put a rain gauge in your, if you're watering your lawn, and you're using a sprinkler system, you can actually put a rain gauge out in a spot that's being hit consistently, not the wettest spot, not the driest spot, and you can actually measure it just like rain and determine how much from the sprinkler is catching that rainwater. The sprinkler is catching the water from your.
Oh, I see.
The rain gauge is catching the water from your sprinkler, and it acts just like rain.
Okay.
But for most plants, using sprinklers probably isn't the best option for your garden. You're going to lose a lot of water with overhead sprinklers. If you can use a soaker hose or drip irrigation, something like that, or just watering directly to plant, depending on how many plants you have, that's going to be your most efficient way to water because you're not going to lose so much in evaporation.
Okay, and that makes it even more difficult, at least for my simple mind, to figure out what's a half inch.
Sure, and maybe you don't need to worry about being so precise with it, but to water deeply less often than watering every day, watering just a little bit. And when you water every day just a little bit, you're encouraging really shallow roots because the water doesn't get really deep into the soil. So it would be better to water your plants once or twice really deeply. Just stand out there, have the patience to hold the hose to them or however you're watering, than to just give them a little bucket every day.
Now, how important is it, let's say you have some flowering plants, how important is it to get the leaves wet as well as the roots right there under the plant?
Well, in general, you want to avoid getting water on leaves for most every plant. There are some. there are sometimes when it might benefit when you know it's going to be so dry that the water is going to evaporate quickly. But you don't want standing water on most plants that we grow in this area. Exceptions to that would be maybe some of your tropical house plants and that sort of thing that really like to have a humid environment around them. But having more humidity than the plant needs and having water droplets stand on a plant is how we get a lot of fungal infections and bacterial infections.
I thought I was helping you. And they never said a word.
Right, and they don't complain at all, do they?
So as you look back over the past week at the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service, is there any one topic that seems to be popping up over and over where other people are having similar situations happening?
We're seeing a good number of tomato. We always have a lot of tomato questions in the summer, but as far as serious problems, we're seeing a lot of what's called tomato spotted wilt virus. And that's something that's actually, it's a virus, like it says, but it's something that's actually transmitted by insects. And that's might be a correlation between our warm weather over the winter, and we're seeing a lot more insects more serious problems with insects that are always around, but they're just in much greater numbers this year.
And I've noticed a lot of ants, it seems, this year, just a huge amount, and I think I have discovered, at least in our house, where they're coming from. Our cats go outside and fall asleep on the nice sunny days, and before you know it, there are ants all around them, and I guess in on them. And they bring them in, I think, because I've tried to figure out how are these ants getting in, because we're really trying to watch dropping food and things of that sort. Could they be brought in by pets?
They could be, but you're not going to have a continuous stream of ants unless unless they're catching each other's scent and they're, you know, following that ant trail. But ants are tiny, Bart. They can, you can have the most clean kitchen in the world and somehow they'll find a way in, and they'll find something.
Some
to eat.
Other rooms too. I mean,
right.
So what?
Sometimes they're just
or?
Looking for a cooler spot. If there's a little moisture somewhere, ants are really drawn to moisture. There's a number of things on the market that you can spray. There's baits. That's a good way to kill ants. When you spray something that kills them immediately, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Generally, if you're having a trail of ants come into your house. Just killing those few isn't going to stop the hundreds or thousands behind them. So baits are generally a better option, because then the ant will take the bait. It's generally in some sort of a tasty food source for them, and it also has a poison. And then they'll take it back to the colony and feed it to the rest of the gang and the queen, and hopefully do some damage to the colony. But it's a break the cycle system.
So, and how long does that take to work? And you're talking about
it varies.
Ant hotel.
It varies, right? Right. Sometimes, depending on how big your problem is, you may not see a whole lot of results really quickly.
Well, and maybe other people are seeing similar things. It's not an army of ants. It's not a whole slew of them. But you'll be sitting at a desk doing something, and you'll see one ant run across, and you reach up and you tap it hard.
Very hard.
and
another one
there
pops
goes
up.
That ant. And you sit there and you do a little bit more. There goes another one. And it's not like a stream of them, not a parade of ants, but just enough that you think, when is this going to end?
Just enough to distract you and you don't get a lot of work done, it sounds
right.
like. One method I use, sometimes with mixed results, is I'll make a home remedy of a simple syrup, which is one part sugar to one part water. And I'll dissolve the sugar in the water over a little bit of heat, maybe a pint of each. So 2 cups water to 2 cups sugar. And then I'll dissolve anywhere from a teaspoon to a teaspoon and a half of boric acid in that
boric
sugar
acid.
Solution.
Okay.
That's a lot of times what you'll see in some of those ant bait mixtures is a little bit of that dissolved mixture in a crystal form. And I will place that in strategic areas right by a windowsill where I know they're coming in. And sometimes it works overnight. Sometimes it works within a few days. And sometimes it almost serves as a corral for ants. I'll be honest about this. Sometimes it works very well, and then sometimes in which case it just keeps them from being all over my counter. Keeps them right there.
And do you play music or anything for them to entertain them?
Uh-huh. I think they're having their own entertainment. Oh, okay. I think with the sugar, the sugar bath.
So is the boric acid okay? Is it safe around pets?
That's
and children?
That's the beauty of it. It is safe around all mammals. So pets, children, it shouldn't cause any problem for them. But it does work against a wide variety of insects.
Now, are there other insects that are creating problems right now, or is it just ants?
Well, sure, there are. We're seeing a lot of Japanese beetles come out, and those are those small, approximately dime size, but a little bit more oval-shaped, iridescent brown-green beetles. And a lot of people will see them on their roses and a number of ornamentals. They really, really like flowers of all sorts. So we see those a lot. We're seeing just a variety of different summertime beetles coming out. Before you know it, we'll have June bugs all over the place. I haven't seen any yet, but it's not to say that they haven't arrived at somebody's yard.
You know, somebody listening, if you have seen June bugs, let us know. I mean, here it is June 21st. Mm-hmm. They're a little off calendar.
Nobody told them.
I thought they had the same calendar we do. But if you've had some June bugs or if you've had any other pesky bugs or critters, call us. Let us know what's in your area. 893-1450 is our number, 893-1450. And also, if you have come up with a way to rid yourself of the problem, we'd really like to hear from you. 893-1450 is the number.
And I've looked up the U.S. Drought Monitor, which is something that many of our listeners might be interested in if they do have internet access to keep an eye on. If you plug in Drought Monitor into a search engine, you'll find it. And it does show that Rutherford County is about 60% 60% into the abnormally dry area, which is the start of a drought, and about 40% or so into a moderate drought. So that kind of confirms some people are getting more, some people are getting less, but we're all starting to dry up early.
Starting to see it. Yeah, I noticed it when I was trying to put in one of those shepherd's hooks in the yard, and I had to water that get that in.
Digging a post hole is tough this time of year.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
I have tomatoes, and the bottom of the tomatoes are turning black, and I was wondering what was going on with that.
What would cause that? The bottom of them turning, all of them turning black on the bottom?
Yes. Seems like most of them, big portion of them.
That sounds like a blossom end rot, which is a common problem in tomatoes this time of year. It's caused by a shortage of calcium. So they're...
Oh.
They need a little bit more calcium in the soil, and one thing you can do is to avoid drought stress, which is part of the problem. You can also put some lime around the plant.
Okay, apply lime.
Lime has got a lot of calcium in it, and you can it won't save those that are already feeling that strain, but you can put some around the base of the plant.
Okay, the lime with calcium.
all of your powdered lime is gonna be high in calcium.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Good luck to you. Bye bye. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
I'm fine. I want to ask Katie about a bug. See if she can identify it for me.
Okay.
It's in a spot where I have cut down collards and kale, and I still see this bug that's got he's mostly sort of brownish, and he has a little pattern geometric design orange on him, but not right up at his head.
Black,
it's on
maybe
the sides and towards his back, and it's about as half as almost as big as your small fingernail if you hadn't got long fingernails.
Sure. That really sounds like what we call a harlequin bug.
Like what now?
It's called a harlequin bug.
Okay, a harlequin.
Harlequin, that's what they used to call jesters and that sort of thing. That's because of that pattern on his back.
Okay.
But they really are fond of everything in the cabbage family. So kale, cabbage, radishes, horseradish, most all your greens, mustards, and they can do a lot of damage.
Okay. Well, I got rid of all my collard plants except two, and I might just get rid of those also.
Well, and you can treat that with a number of products. You can
I've been using that straight eight like we get from co-op, but they just keep on coming back. They must be pretty hard to kill.
Well, they can be, and sometimes you might need to mix up, use a few different strategies. You know, one time spray one thing and one another.
Okay.
Seven dust does work. We also use a compound called spinosad.
Okay.
Which you can find a product called Captain Jack's Dead Bug Juice at the co-op.
That's good stuff.
It is. That works well on
okay.
Harlequin.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try another one besides this straight eight then. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Thanks Bye. For calling. And I think, though, as you mentioned, they're also called cabbage bugs. Mm-hmm. But in some areas of the country, they're black stink bugs. I'm guessing, and I have some reason, I heard about the stink bugs. We have some friends who moved here from the Washington, D.C. area, and they said these stink bugs were really a problem there. Now, they didn't tell me too much about whether they stink, but I guess they do, or they wouldn't be called stink bugs. So do these Harlequin bugs stink?
I haven't noticed it. I think they might be closely related, but I'm not sure they'd be the same exact bug. The treatment would probably be mm-hmm. about the same.
Okay.
Most in that stink bug family, it's hard to miss.
they do stink.
If the squash bugs and stink bugs, they're closely related, and they look really similar. And they have some people might be more sensitive to it than others, but mm-hmm. I hate squishing stink bugs.
Well, I'm not going to do it if I know it then. Now that you're saying how bad they smell.
It gets on your fingers, and it's just hard to get off.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of things that are hard to fool with, I understand that we're continuing to see more and more of these fire ants that are just really treacherous mm-hmm. to get step on or something.
We really are. If you've ever gotten a couple of them on you, you know how painful they can be. They form... A lot of ants will bite, and that's something that many people don't... They expect anything that... Any ant that bites them must be a fire ant, but these actually will form a little blister and be much, much more painful than just a short sting. But they are moving up. We are seeing a lot of them at the Ag Center.
So be aware.
Really.
And do they look different from other ants? I mean, can you identify them and say, hey, those are fire ants?
You could, and you could look online for a... for an identifier. It's pretty subtle. You'd want to have a side-by-side comparison while you were learning the distinctions.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But the mounds are especially, the mounds are going to be larger. Lots of ants make mounds. One thing, though, is do not disturb the mound. That only aggravates them and it makes them disperse and probably make some more mounds. Flag them and try to keep your kids away from them.
Alrighty. We're talking about lawns and gardens this morning. Our number is 893-1450. If you have a lawn or a garden question, call us right now. 893-1450. Janie Becker is with us from the Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to check on the traffic and weather, and we'll be right back. 893-1450. Hey, are you an organic gardener? Finally, there's a fast-working and effective all-organic insect control from Bonide Products. Bonide's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is the answer to all of your garden insect problems. Captain Jack's works in two ways, on contact or through feeding. Now, this will ensure that your insect problems are over now. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew controls all types of insects, including caterpillars, beetles, spider mites, and borers. Use it on vegetables, flowers, berries, trees, shrubs, and fruit. Captain Jack's is all organic. It's an insect control that's available in easy-to-use dust, liquid concentrate, ready-to-use, and ready-to-spray containers with built-in applicators. Pick up some Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew at the Co-op Farm and Home Center. On Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church, they have it at the Co-op. They also have it at Martin's Home and Garden. And if you haven't been over there, you have missed something. Martin's Home and Garden. They are on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant. Good morning to you from WGNS.
Your ABC News radio station. Talk radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Tackle this summer's heat in style with a Ford Mustang convertible from Ford of Murfreesboro. Need something bigger? How about a Ford F-150 to haul your toys to the lake with? There's one with your name on it at Ford. Visit Ford of Murfreesboro today on Broad at the Northfield intersection. You can also surf their deals online at fordofmurfreesboro.com. So go ahead, take a peek at that convertible you always wanted, and give that F-150 a test drive today.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning. We have a little bit of congestion still. 04 Parkway at Chaffin, 04 Parkway at Kaysen Lane, I-24 at 96. Also, we have a bit of congestion going into downtown Nashville on I-24 westbound around the Bell Road exit at the junction there with I-40 West. This reminder, the THB is urging you to take care now that temperatures are rising through the summer months. Never leave a child or a pet in an unattended vehicle. Stop at Bradford Flooring and Paint Center at 1999 Nolansville Pike. Ask about the free tickets to the races at the fairgrounds this summer. Call Bradford Flooring at 251-5384. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
Plenty of sunshine across the forecast area. 94 degrees for your high temperature. We'll have a calm wind becoming southwest around 5. Tonight, a spotty shower and thunderstorm chance. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Right now, 79.
I'm Steve Smith at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. Our people are different from others. We give the personal service. We're here to answer the telephone. We're just personal hometown banking at First National Bank, Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
We got some good neighbors and we like bragging on them. Nominate a good neighbor every day. Nominate a police officer weekly or a teacher monthly. Put it in writing on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. If you have a question or a comment this morning dealing with lawns and gardens, now's the time to call. Janie Becker's with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're talking about things you need to be doing in the lawn and garden. 893-1450 is the number. 893-1450. And if you're having bug problems or insect problems, give us a call, 893-1450. And I guess some of the remedies, especially mosquito problems and stuff like that, putting out bat boxes and Martin houses, we're probably too late to have those do anything this year, aren't we?
We are, but another thing, something that you can be more proactive with is to eliminate the standing pools of water that you might have around your house. Maybe some old tires, a bucket that you might have not emptied since the last rain, whenever that was in your area. And sometimes there's just a little bit of standing water can breed hundreds and hundreds of mosquitoes. And if you do have, and maybe you have an ornamental pond that doesn't get a lot of circulation and you start to see some mosquito larvae in it, you can buy mosquito dunks. You can buy those at the co-op.
Mm-hmm.
It's a granular material that you can put in the water, and it contains a parasite of mosquito larvae that will take care of them pretty quickly.
Well, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. I don't know what happened to them. 893-1450. We had them on hold for a little while, but when you call in, we will put you on hold. And if you'll, you know, be patient when we finish a sentence, we'll come to you. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Hello. I'm having a problem with voles and moles in my yard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moles and voles. How long is this something you've had for a good while, or is it a recent problem? Or
well, the moles have been there longer than the voles. The voles have come in now and eaten up all my bedded plants.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Okay.
It's a frustrating problem. There's not a lot of great answers. You can use some. There are some baits that are especially intended for voles. And you at least know the difference, and that's a first step. Is most moles are not going to be eating your plants, whereas voles with a V as in Victor are going to be eating your roots and so on. All of the solutions that we use in orchard types, they're big pests in orchards and some woody commercial crops of that sort don't really work in the home garden, because they say don't use mulches because that gives them a place to hide. And of course, in most cases in the home garden, you want to see some mulch to keep the moisture in. I hate to say it, but what works for me is a good dog, but that won't work for everyone. Terriers can do a real number on your moles and voles.
Y'all want to borrow?
It's not quite a terrier. She costs a lot more to feed, and she might make some craters in your yard. But she's effective.
Get rid of them.
Yeah, moles are somewhat easier to solve because they're going after the grubs in your yard. That's the primary food source for all moles. That's moles with an M, as in Mary. And so, if you treat the grubs in your lawn, you can use a conventional product such as something that includes imidacloprid, or there's also an organic option using something called Milky Spore. That should help your mole problem sufficiently.
That Milky Spore is rather expensive. How about the price of the other one?
Imidacloprid is much cheaper. The thing about Milky Spore, though, is it has been shown to be effective for many, many years, whereas imidacloprid is something you're going to have to spray regularly. Maybe not every year. You need to spray it every year for a couple of years until you get the problem abated some. But Milky Spore, I've heard reports of 5 to 10 years of success with that. Because if there's enough grubs for it to get started, it's a bacteria, and it gives them enough to feed on, it'll stay active in the ground for many years. So it might be an investment, depending on how large your lawn is. It might be an investment worthwhile.
I got a 3-acre yard.
Well, that's a lot of Milky Spore.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's a lot of imidacloprid too. It's a lot of anything if you're really going to try to spray it over your entire yard. So one thing you can try to eliminate some of the mulch and some of the cover that would give your voles hiding cover, Raptors, if you live in a place, if you have a 3-acre yard, anything you can do to encourage predator birds can be a good source, a good solution. They may not take care of the entire population, though. Unfortunately, they're a fact of life if you've got a good habitat for them.
Well, good luck to you on that.
Yes, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Especially good. He needs good luck.
He does. I understand the problem.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
I have a quick question, and you might have already addressed this. I just came on late. I have not had time to put the garden together. I got it plowed together and then just never had time. It's only a 10 by 10, but is it too late for me to go ahead and put anything in the ground, tomatoes or anything?
Absolutely
and
not.
Also, also if this would help, in the past with the garden, I have worm problems. I don't know if this last gentleman, if this will help him. I went and got a whole bunch of those construction little metal things with the little flags on them, which also kept away when I had the little hummingbirds up around there, the little flags did. But the wire did, I did right down the root on the side, and I have not had them come back because they can't bite through to the root. But for this year, what can I do? Can I do anything?
You sure can. If as long as you provide the moisture, most all of our vegetable plants, well, the ones that we think of as far as tomatoes and squashes and beans, they thrive in hot weather. So if you can provide enough moisture to germinate seeds, if you can find tomato transplants, there's probably still some out there at some of your garden centers. You can plant squash and beans and some things of that nature all throughout the summer. Just provide enough moisture to get them germinated and baby them a little bit while they're small seedlings, and they should come on well.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're
good
welcome.
Luck to you. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. We have some folks on hold, so if you'll hold on, we'll be taking your call in just a moment. I have a question right now for you. Are you looking for one product to control all of your insects in and around your home, lawn, and garden? Bonide has the answer. Bonide's 8 Insect Control controls most of the common home, lawn, and garden insect problems. 8 is effective against more than 100 insects that destroy trees, shrubs, lawns, flowers, vegetables, and fruit. Use 8 to eliminate fleas, ticks, ants, and other home-invading pests. It can even be used indoors on houseplants. 8. Where do you get it? You get it at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church. Or you can get 8 right now at Martin's Home and Garden on Broad, right across from Demas Restaurant. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Just fine. I was calling to comment on a guy that was having trouble with moles.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had tried all the products, the peanuts and all that. The best way I found to do is just to catch them and dig them out with a shovel.
Uh-huh.
Or I have shot them with a shotgun. Catch them moving, mark it, and then you know where they are. And that about 3 times to the day, they'll usually do their work.
Okay. Are they daytime usually, or is this nighttime? Or I guess they
move usually around 9. 1 in the evening, around 5.
Oh, okay.
I usually catch about 10 a year. And that's really the only way I've found it is successful, because a dog basically just tears my yard up more than more good. They don't do no good. They do more damage than good.
Right. It creates kind of a moonscape in my experience where the dog digs them up, but...
And then I tried the poison peanuts that you could get down at the co-op, and I tried juicy fruit gum, and I just found out, well, like about 2 weeks ago, I got me 2,
mm-hmm.
and I'm working on getting 2 more. I just found out the best way is to sneak in behind them. You got to be real quiet and dig them out with a shovel. Also, I got a question on onions. My onions this year, I've never had nothing eat on an onion. But this year, something just eats the top of my onions off. Could you tell me what's doing that?
What would cause that? The tops of the onions?
Yeah, it's just like something ate the top off, and then, you know, it gets brown where it was chopped off.
Mm-hmm.
Is it eating the top that it chewed off, or is it just biting it in half?
It's like it's biting it in half. You'll see part of it fell over on the ground, and then sometimes you won't see it. And I didn't know of nothing that would eat an onion. This is the first time this has ever happened to me.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that either. They normally, they're not something that most of our critters go after. I'd have to look into that and see if there's a worm of some sort that want to girdle it, or rabbits generally will stay far away from onions.
I have, you know, broke one open and look inside it, and you could see a little white speck crawling inside the blade.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's suspect. If you see that again, and can bag the whole specimen and take it by the extension office, I'd be happy to look at it for you.
Okay, yeah, you
almost
have a magnifying glass to see it, because when I first mm-hmm. looked, it was just like a little white speck moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the magnifying glass, and I said, well, that's alive. That's crawling.
Sure.
But it's like, you know how your onions should be starting the head?
Right.
Mine ain't. It's like they got chopped off and stunted, and now they got to go back all through the process again.
Sure, and it's a bad time of year for it. You'll probably need to supply a little extra moisture if you want to get them to come on, unless they're big enough that you can go ahead and harvest them. I'd probably recommend going ahead and harvest what you've got, because they're not gonna do as well as it gets hotter and drier, as mature as they probably are at this point.
You mean eat them as green onion?
Well, it depends what diameter are they now.
Oh, I ain't checked on that lately. Not the bottoms of them.
Mm-hmm. You might want to weigh the options of them. You can leave them in there for a little while, but you're going to need to baby them a little bit because they don't have any green material to be producing food for the bulb. Do you see
okay.
what I mean?
Uh huh.
So that just threw me off
because I've been doing garden for probably 25 years and nothing's ever bothered my onions.
Right. I've had problems with onion maggots and things down in the soil, but I haven't had issues with things cutting off the top. So if you can bring a sample by next time you see it, I'd be glad to take a look at it for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck to you. While you were talking, I did a Google search on the internet about what's eating the onions in my garden. Pretty mm-hmm. straight, and it came up with some answers. It said the tawny and short-winged mole crickets can be serious pests. Have okay. you ever heard of those? The tawny, T-A-W-N-Y, tawny and short-winged mole crickets.
I've heard there's a number of different mole crickets, so mm-hmm. the little larvae he's describing makes me wonder what that would be, and if we could use something that would affect caterpillars. But I'd rather diagnose that before I told him what to spray.
Maybe somebody listening has had this happen.
Sure.
and call us if you would. 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Just fine.
Good.
And I have a question. My aunt has roses, knockout roses. And it says the beetle bugs are eating them up. What can she use to get rid of them? And my question is, what's a good grass to grow in Rutherford County that will stay green during the summer and not die out?
Okay.
They have it at City Tile. Artificial turf.
Synthetic, yeah. Well, the first question, as far as your roses go, the Japanese beetles do love roses, and mm-hmm. there's a couple options. You can use seven dust on your roses. I would, when you spray roses, this is my, not everybody will say this, but I would prefer sacrificing those few blooms, taking off the flowers before you spray.
Deadhead them, that's what I do anyway.
Right. Well, take them off, even the good ones, because when you spray,
right.
seven dust will affect a lot of your beneficial pollinators too, some of your bees, and they're not going to come to your roses though if you don't have flowers on them. So if you can hold off, take the roses off for a couple weeks while you're spraying seven, you can minimize the damage to those pollinators while still getting the Japanese beetles. They're going to be feeding on the leaves and the flowers and a little bit of everything. And as far as the grass goes, there are some Bermuda grass will stay green throughout the summer. Of course, it does turn brown in the winter.
Right.
And there are some heat-resistant fescues. I'm not the turf expert that some of my colleagues are, but you'd call the extension office probably next week, because I think we're short on staff this week.
Okay.
Or call the co-op. They know a lot about their grass seeds, but there are some heat resistant fescues out there that should last through the summer and have the benefit of also being green in the winter.
All right, thank you. Have
Good
a blessed
luck.
Day.
Thank you. You too.
Too.
And one thing she might want to do too, and I found this really valuable. It's something you have there at the co-op, not the co-op, at the Ag Center, and that is your turf plot out front.
Absolutely.
Where you have all the different grasses already planted in fairly good sized plots, and you can walk on it, you can look at it, you can feel it, you can see it, and you know your soil is not any different from most of ours. It's full of clay and rock, and you can see what grows well at the different seasons of the year. So just head over to the co-op over on John Rice Boulevard.
To the extension office.
I don't know why I keep saying that. Head over to the extension office, and that is on John Rice Boulevard. The road was right, the word was wrong. And walk across those plots of grass. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to let her know I had called on the powdery mildew on my cucumbers. I didn't know what it was because 2 years ago I lost all of my cucumber plants, and it's working, and you might want to tell others about the 1 teaspoon of baking soda, and I sprayed up underneath the leaf too. And I noticed my little spinner gourds that are in there, they've got the powdery mildew on them too, so it's rampant.
but seeing some results then.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks bye-bye. For calling.
Bye-bye. Tell us a little about that so somebody else.
Yeah, powdery mildew is going to be affecting a lot of your garden plants, especially likes all those squash relatives, cucumbers, winter squash, zucchini, gourds, all of those sorts of things, and as well as a lot of ornamentals you'll see it on. If you catch it early enough before leaves are just completely white, you can use a home concoction of 1 quart of water to a teaspoon of baking soda and add a little bit of dish soap in there, just enough to get it sticky, and spray that on the leaves. And baking soda is the cheapest effective fungicide you can use. It's not going to be something that you spray once and you're taken care of, but you can spray repeatedly and make a real big difference in your powdery mildew problems.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
I was interrupted a while ago.
I'm sorry.
I wondered if anyone had called you about gum. Chewing gum for moles. A neighbor came over to my house when I had some moles, and she put chewing gum down in the holes, and I haven't had any moles since.
Well, that's good.
And juicy fruit is the best.
Juicy fruit, okay.
Some people swear by it.
Thank you. Yeah, I've heard that too before. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Juicy fruit gum. And so she has done it, and it works, and you say you've heard other people swear by it.
Yes, I'm happy for her that it's working for her. There's not a lot of reason why it would work, but some people really do swear by it. The smell is strong. Some people say it repels them, but it's not a consistent remedy, but more power to you if it works.
That's what counts. 893 1450 is our number. 893-1450. Janie Becker's with us this morning, and we'll be back and continue the conversation right after a look at our morning weather. Stay with us.
This is MTSU President Sidney McPhee. You're listening to WGNS, your local connection to Blue Raider Athletics.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Our friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta Leather Sectional. Regular $10.99, they have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
We're visiting with Tina Fox at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
Come visit us for all those gardening needs. We have everything you need to take care of the insects or disease on your plants. We have a wonderful gift selection. We have a great clothing department, wonderful pet and bird department. And of course, as always, we have the great farm store. So come visit us at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard.
Right now, head over to the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church.
Plenty of sunshine across the forecast area, 94 degrees for your high temperature. We'll have a calm wind becoming southwest around 5. Tonight, a spotty shower and thunderstorm chance. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber. Right now, 79.
And right now, you can get a jump on lawn weed control this year with Bonide's Sedge Ender. Bonide's Sedge Ender is the ultimate systemic nut sedge, grassy, and broadleaf weed killer. It kills and prevents most weeds right down to the roots with just one application. Sedge Ender won't harm lawn grasses. It can be applied from early spring to late fall. Sedge Ender is available in pint concentrate that will cover up to 8,700 square feet. So don't wait. Pick up some Bonide Sedge Ender today and rid your lawn of nut sedge this weekend. You can get Sedge Ender at the Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off South Church. They also have it at Martin's Home and Garden, right there on Broad, across from Demas Restaurant. Lawns and gardens, that's what we're talking about today. And Janie Becker's with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Hey, great show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, just one thing with the moles. They're real sensitive to human scent. And whatever you put in the hole, you need to make your hole with something around your yard that you hadn't touched. And they'll usually avoid it if it has some sort of human scent on it.
All right. That's good. Another good bit of information. Thank you for calling. You have a super day. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
I have a question.
Okay.
I've noticed this week and last week some little bugs around our mulch area that have a red body. Do you know what those are?
Can you give me any more detail as far as size or any other marking?
They're about the size of a fly, but they crawl, and their body is red, the rest of them is black, and when you water, they scatter.
Okay. There's a number of things that could fit that description. I'm searching in my head to think what that could be. There's box elder beetles that come out this time of year, and they have sort of a, they're mainly black. Well, early on when they're young, they're mostly red, and as they get older and older, they start to have some more black patterning to them. And sometimes they'll congregate around houses as well as around box elder trees and several other different trees, and they come out in flushes. You might look that up and see if that's fitting your description. It's generally they are pests, but they're generally not. They come and go, and they're not really worth treating most of the time.
Okay,
box elder beetle is what I would, just from your brief description. If you'd like a certain confirmation, you could bring a sample by the office, and we'd be happy to.
And where are you?
We're at 315 John R. Rice Boulevard, just past Paws.
Okay.
The county animal shelter.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck to you. Let's see if we can't squeeze in one more call. We only have about a minute, I guess. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker.
Good morning.
Hello. Okay. Well, we won't get that one. We're about out of time, Janie. Any final thoughts? Anything happening at the Ag Center?
Well, we're short a lot of agents because we have 4-H camp going on. Lots of people have good memories of that. We've got a couple of canning classes going on today that I think are all full. We've got another coming up at the market next month. So call us if you're interested in canning classes.
Yeah, I guess, is Pat the one to see you?
She
there?
Is. Pat Whitaker is the one to get in touch with.
Janie, thanks for joining us today. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day. Janie Becker from the Agricultural Extension Service.